afternoon. I call the Health and Social Services Committee to order at 1:31 p.m. on Thursday, April 8, 2021. We're in room 205 of the Capitol Building. As usual, please silence your cell phones. Committee members in attendance today are Senator Costello, Senator Reinbold, Senator Begich, and myself, Senator Hughes. Senator Wilson is excused on state business. We have a quorum to conduct business. We'll begin today with Senate Bill 26, repeal of certificate of need by Senator Wilson. We heard testimony on this bill March 25th, and the chair's office received no amendments to the bill. So are there further questions for the sponsor's office at this time for members? Senator Reinbold?
I just want to make a comment in regards to this bill. This is something Eagle River desperately needs, and I'm extremely thankful that this bill got brought before the committee. I think I've been working on this over 5 years.
Thank you.
Very appreciative.
Thank you, Senator Reinbold. Is there a motion to move this bill from committee? Senator Costello.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill number 26, version Bravo, from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Is there an objection to this motion? Seeing none, CS for SB 26, version B, moves to the next committee of referral. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. So hearing no objection, SB 26, version B, moves to the next committee of referral. Now we'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. Now we're going to turn to Senate Bill 99, Juveniles Justice Facilities Treatment, sponsored by Senator Begich. We heard and took testimony on this bill on March 25th. And again, the chair's office received no amendments for this bill. Are there any final questions or comments for the bill's sponsor? Does the sponsor of the bill have any final comments?
Yes, Madam Chair. Just for the record, thank you for hearing the bill. This is brought to me by DJJ, and I was happy to carry it for him, and look forward to its next committee of referral.
Thank you, Senator Begich. Do we have a motion to move this bill from committee? Senator Costello?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 99, version Alpha, from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Is there an objection? Hearing none, SB 99 moves to the next committee of referral. We will take brief at ease to sign the paperwork. This is sponsored by Senator Kawasaki, if you'd like to come forward. We will hear an overview of the bill and a sectional analysis and take testimony today. And with us, we have Senator Kawasaki and Joe Hayes, his staff. Welcome. I also want to note, let's see, online, just for members, that we have available for, these are saying testimony, not questions, but they might be able to answer questions. Oh, we have Sarah Chambers, but I'm not seeing her on. She's in the room. That's a pleasant surprise. So we do have Sarah, Director of DCCED's Division of Corporations, Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing, available in the room, and we'll also be hearing invited testimony for Amy Lang, ND Naturopathic Overview, and Clyde Jensen, PhD Pharmaceutical Training for NDs, and David Schleich, PhD Educational Standard for NDs. So with that, Senator Kawasaki, I just gave you a major upgrade. Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Health and Social Services Committee. I'm Senator Scott Kawasaki, for the record, Senate seat A in Fairbanks. I'm pleased to introduce this bill on behalf of folks who practice naturopathy in the state of Alaska. Alaska's nearly 50 licensed naturopaths provide valuable health care services and can play an important role in helping Alaska's primary care provider shortage, including those who are allopaths and osteopaths. Current statute, however, is vague as to the specific authority of naturopaths, which has led to adoption of some of the most restrictive naturopathic medicine regulations in the nation. Senate Bill 38 seeks to establish a clear scope of practice for naturopathic physicians, aims to allow these primary health care providers in Alaska to practice consistent with their education and training. Senate Bill 38 would correct, I'm sorry, for example, despite being trained to perform a range of minor office procedures such as sutures, wart removals, IUD placements and removals, naturopaths are prohibited from performing any of those routine procedures in the state of Alaska. Similarly, many naturopaths have accredited pharmacological degrees and training, yet under current regulation are specifically prohibited from writing prescriptions and must instead refer patients to other providers, even though those providers may have advanced training. These overly restrictive regulations are causing many naturopaths to rethink practicing in the state. Senate Bill 38 would correct this by outlining clear statutory guidelines, including, among other things, allowing licensed naturopath practitioners to perform minor office procedures and to prescribe vitamins and minerals and other non-controlled substance medications. Basically the same scope as being practiced safely in other states and by their healthcare providers. Naturopathic medicine can provide valuable and complementary care in Alaska in the Alaska healthcare setting, and many Alaskans struggle with basic healthcare access. The ability of naturopaths to practice the scope of medicine consistent with their training would immediately expand the availability of primary care in the state of Alaska. We have a short presentation that'll be presented by my staff, Joe Hayes, and there are folks online who will be able to answer questions specifically about the practice of naturopathy.
Thank you for that introduction. Mr. Hayes, please put yourself on the record and begin the presentation.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and through the Chair, members of the committee. My name is Joe Hayes, staff for Senator Kawasaki, and we're going to go through a presentation on naturopathic medicine reform. So what is a naturopathic doctor? It's a primary care provider with a four-year postgraduate medical degree who practices evidence-based primary care with a patient-centered focus that prioritizes disease prevention over symptom management and drug therapies. What education do naturopathic doctors receive? So they receive a four-year medical school program accredited by the Council of Naturopathic Medical Education, which includes 2 years of medical science, anatomy, physiology, microbiology, immunology, and 2 years of clinical sciences and treatment methods. For prerequisites, they have a four-year undergraduate degree and additional pre-medical coursework. For residencies, they have a 1 to 3 year residency option throughout the country. However, there are not enough residency opportunities for every graduate. And as far as licensing, naturopaths must pass a two-part naturopathic physician license examination, NPLEX, before being licensed to practice.
Can you take an Addies?
Addies. Could you please move the slide back one, because I was getting ready to make a note of something. Okay. Okay, we have a question from Senator Costello.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the brief, Eddies, to move the screen so that we can see it better. I just wanted to note, for the sponsor, Senator Kawasaki, did your office prepare these slides, or were they prepared from somewhere else?
You can answer.
Through the Chair, Senator Costello, yes, these were prepared by the Naturopathic Association.
Follow-up?
Senator Costello.
And could you share with us where the Naturopathic Association is located?
Senator Costello, it's through the President, and we have folks online who might be able to address that. Clarify it further.
Could we get that answer, Madam Chair?
Can you recommend which person would be best that we have? I have the Alaska Association of Naturopathic Physicians, State Naturopathic Medical Association. Which one? The second?
Yes, I do believe Dr. Abbey would be able to probably address that Madam Chair.
Okay. Abby Lang, please identify yourself for the record, and if you didn't hear Senator Costello's question, she can repeat it. Let us know.
Madam Chair, I'll just repeat it. I was just curious if the sponsor had prepared these slides, and we have found out that no, and I just asked, after finding out that the Naturopath Association has, where they are located.
The association, this is Abby Lang. I'm in Anchorage. The association is located in Anchorage, Alaska.
Thank you very much, Abby. And a follow-up, Senator Costello.
Thank you. And were these slides prepared by the Anchorage office, or are they prepared by a national associate?
These slides were prepared in conjunction with the local office, not national.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Hayes, please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So for the next slide, who is not a naturopathic doctor? So other conventionally trained or allied health care providers practicing integrative, functional, or holistic health care, such as medical doctors, doctors of osteopath, chiropractors, nurse practitioners, physician assistants, or massage therapists. Other licensed or unlicensed providers marketing themselves as natural care providers, holistic health care providers, or healers. Healthcare store employees, essential oil sales representatives, or someone who's completed an online certificate course. And this is a history of the naturopathic statutes in Alaska. So we originally started in 1986 with the current statute, AS 845. In 2004, we established the Naturopathic Medicine Task Force. 2005, we extended the task force for a year and updated its membership. Also in 2005, we updated the statutes to correct division to department. Now, since 2007, we have been trying to update the statutes, the 1986 statutes. And as you see through the iterations, we're here to 2021.
Madam Chair.
Senator Bevitt.
And those changes, thank you, Madam Chair, through the Chair, those changes, were they based on the findings of the task force? The task force met for 2 years. What were those various 07, 08, 10, 11, 12, 13? Were those based on the changes recommended by the task force, or do you know?
Through the Chair, Senator Begich, I do not actually know that answer. What I'm assuming is that the new legislations were to address revamping the entire statutes. And what is her name? Director Chambers has a history, so I think she'll be able to further explain that.
Okay, thank you. If you could make a note of that, Ms. Chambers, when you come up, that'd be helpful. Okay, thank you. I'm just guessing that starting in 2007, we were trying to do what we're trying to do today, and so this is the ninth year that's been tried. Okay, thank you. Continue.
Okay, and this slide, we show how licensing of naturopaths have worked in the country. In Alaska, as you see, naturopathic doctors are licensed with some degree of insurance coverage for ND services. You also see that there are about 11 states that are looking to file bills for naturopaths in the country, and we have quite a few that are unregulated. So Alaska, we're regulated. So.
Okay, thank you.
I know this is more of a sense of a controversy, but this next slide shows the prescriptive authority of naturopaths in America. In Alaska, we have neither prescriptive authority or controlled substance. But then you have states like Arizona and California that have both. And then it's kind of a crisscross of both, one, or not, or either. So we're looking at the prescriptive authority. So in summary, Senate Bill 38 modernizes statutes for naturopaths by cleaning up outdated language, requiring continuing education every 2 years, and imposing the same public health duties on naturopaths as other medical providers. It updates the scope of practice of naturopaths to include limited prescriptive authority in allowing minor office procedures, and it removes the need for duplicative office visits and improves access to care for patients in Alaska. With that, Madam Chair, I'm open to questions.
Thank you. Members have questions. I have a couple, but Senator Begich.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. In the descriptions, as you were giving the introductory comments, Senator Kawasaki, you mentioned many have pharmacological training. And if we're going to be prescribing, is there a provision that those prescribing would have to have pharmacological training? Is that in the bill? I don't mean to throw you for a loop, but you just had mentioned that in the comments, and I just want to be sure that we're not relaxing the standard at all.
And I had noticed it. I had noticed too on page 2 of the PowerPoint it listed several courses and it said et cetera, but it didn't list pharmacology. So I did have a similar question, and Senator Costello has a related follow up.
So through the chair, there will be someone to more speak about exactly what type of pharmacological training they had to take as a naturopath. But we're not trying to expand prescriptive authority past what they already currently are taught through their pharmacological training during their four-year science-based trainings.
And
follow-up, Senator Begich?
Well, up on page 5, actually, lines 23 through 25 do limit it to those who've passed the elective pharmacology examination. I missed that earlier. I'm sorry that I missed that. So to be clear, then, the bill would only allow, based on this section, it seems that the bill would only allow a naturopath who had passed the elective pharmacology examination portion of the examination, the NPL examination, to prescribe. That's what it looks like to me. So my mistake, Madam Chair, I should have seen that.
Thank you, Senator Costello.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm looking at two different pages, but I'll start with page 6, lines 14 and 15. So these are phrases that are removed from statute, and it starts out, a person who practices naturopathy may not give, prescribe, or recommend in this practice, and then it lists what is taken out. So we are removing the prohibition on surgery, and we are removing the prohibition on the naturopath to use the word physician in their title. I'm wondering if this is somewhat deceptive. I mean, to say that someone's a physician, and then later we say that they can do minor surgery. I mean, it seems like the public might be confused about the training that an individual has had if we're calling them a physician.
Thank
Senator
you.
Kawasaki.
Through the chair, Senator Costello. Yeah, we looked at this term surgery, which seems like something invasive, something, you know, with scalpels and needles and things like that. That's not exactly what the naturopaths have asked for. What they're talking about is minor office procedures, and so we probably do need to change that to a better definition and probably have it listed within the definition section of the bill. But there are naturopaths who are online who will be able to speak specifically to that. The term was probably too vague and too overarching.
Madam Chair.
Senator Costello.
And, you know, the reason I bring that up is because the PowerPoint that was prepared by the, not by your office, but by naturopaths, it says that it allows minor office procedures. So then you look at the bill itself, and on page 5, starting on the section lines 26 through 31, it talks about what can't be performed, and it says major surgery. So somewhere in between minor office procedure and major surgery, you know, we have this gap, and I would imagine that, you know, I'm just not sure how you define major surgery. It seems like any surgery at all could be major to the individual undergoing the surgery. So I think we have to make some clarifications there.
Yes, through the chair, Senator Costello, I definitely concur. Thank you.
Okay, I guess continue then, please. Were you going to do a sectional analysis? I don't think we've done that yet.
Through the chair, Senate Bill 38, sectional analysis, an act relating to the practice of naturopath, establishing a naturopath advisory board relating to the licensure of naturopaths, relating to disciplinary sanctions for naturopaths, relating to the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development, and providing an effective date. So section 1A is the professional designation requirement as amended, so it requires naturopathic practitioners to use appropriate letters, titles, and specialist designations. Section 2 establishes the Naturopath Advisory Board. It establishes a 5-person Naturopathic Advisory Board for the purpose of making recommendations on adoption of regulations and other matters related to the function of the department under AS 8-45. Section 3 is the application for license. It requires applicants applying for licensure to use a form provided by the department to submit fingerprints for purposes of a criminal history background check for licensure and pay a fee established by the department. Section 4, issuance of license. Established to be issued a license, an applicant must A, have graduated with a doctoral degree from an accredited naturopathic college, have passed the naturopathic physician licensing exam, is not subject to an unresolved disciplinary action in another jurisdiction, complies with application requirements, and have not been convicted or pled guilty or no contest to a crime that adversely reflects on the applicant's ability to practice or jeopardize the safety of a patient. It removes outdated language requiring that to be issued a license to practice naturopathy in Alaska. If an individual graduated before 1988, they must also have been issued a license to practice in another state previously. Section 5, documentation of license, refusal and revocation requires the department to provide in writing a concise statement of refusal to issue licenses or for license revocation. Section 6, temporary licenses. Allows the department to issue a temporary license to a naturopath if they are signed up to take a licensing exam at the next available date after the date of the application and meets all other licensing requirements outlined in AS 8-45-301A and 2-4. Section 7, standards for license renewal. It outlines the requirements for naturopathic license renewal. Section 8, practice of naturopathy, allows naturopaths to practice within the standards and scope of their education and training, prescribe natural and therapeutic substances, natural therapies, and contraceptive devices. Prescribes allow drugs only if the naturopath has passed the naturopathic physician's licensing examination pharmacological portion, and perform minor surgeries and other diagnostic procedures defined naturopathic physical application. Section 9, restrictions on practice of naturopathy. Removes the prohibition for prescribing drugs, performing minor surgeries, and using the word physician in titles. Prohibits naturopaths from giving, recommending, or prescribing cancer drugs or controlled substances. Section 10, public health duties. AS 8-45-55, duty of naturopaths to report. It's a new section. Another new section would be AS 8-45.058, naturopaths to report certain injuries, and that imposes same public health duties on naturopaths as other physicians. Section 11, grounds for suspension, revocation, and refusal to issue a license. It amends and applies the same suspension, license revocation, and refusal to issue a license grounds on naturopaths as other physicians. Section 12, grounds for suspension, revocation, and refusal to issue a license. It adds a new subsection to clarify the authority of the entity taking disciplinary action against a license under AS 8-45.06A14. Section 13, disciplinary sanctions. It amends to clarify that disciplinary sanctions applies to for all of AS 8.45 and imposes a limit of a $25,000 fine for civil penalties. Section 14, disciplinary sanctions. It's a new section that establishes and outlines when the department may reinstate or suspend a license and require the department to report actions on licensees to the National Practitioner Data Bank. Section 15, automatic suspension for mental incompetency. It's a new section, and it's voluntary surrender, AS 8-45-115, medical and psychiatric exams, a new section. AS 8-45-120, reports relating to malpractice actions and claims, is a new section, and penalties for practicing without a license is a new section. AS 8.45.130, prohibited use of title, is a new section. So it establishes new sections and applies the same grounds for naturopaths as physicians for licensing. Automatic suspension of a license for mental incompetency, voluntary surrender of license, requiring medical and psychiatric exams, requires reporting for malpractice actions and claims, applies penalties for practicing naturopathy without a license, and prohibits using the title naturopath without a license. Section 16 is definitions, which repeals and replaces definitions of naturopathy. Section 17 is definitions, and it defines approved naturopathic medical schools and naturopath. Section 18 is the national criminal history record check for employment, licensing, and other non-criminal justice purposes. And it amends AS 12.62.400 to include and require naturopaths to submit fingerprints to complete the national criminal history record check. Section 19 is transitional language, which will allow currently licensed naturopaths to practice under the new law. Section 20 is transitional regulations, which allows the department to adopt transitional regulations immediately following passage and prior to the bill's effective date. Section 21 is the effective date, uncodified law, with established immediate effective dates for Section 20, and Section 22, effective date, uncodified law, which establishes effective date for sections 1 through 19 as of January 1, 2022. Madam Chair.
Okay, Senator Costello has a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think I'm starting to understand why it's been through the process 9 years. So it says here that if a person goes to a naturopath and there's a second or third degree burn, a bullet wound, an injury caused by an axe or knife, or an injury likely to cause the death of a patient, it has to be reported to the Department of Public Safety. Isn't there an assumption there then that a person with these injuries would seek care from a naturopath? And I'm just concerned about that. Perhaps if there's a naturopath online at some point who can answer, you know, if they've treated people with these conditions, because the new statute says that if it were to pass, that if they see a person with these injuries, that they have to be reported to Department of Public Safety. So I'm not sure about that. And then I'm on page 5, I was wondering, it says that section 8, that a naturopath licensed under this chapter may prescribe drugs except as provided in 08-45-050, and then there's a list there, if they've passed the elective pharmacology examination. And I think this came up earlier. I was curious, if you're licensed and then there's an elective exam, an elective portion of your licensure, it seems like for the public interest that you need to display that very clearly if the individual has taken that portion of the exam, because that elective portion of the exam is going to give that individual different scope of practice in this bill than anybody else. And so from the public's perspective, if everyone is in the, you know, online, you're looking for a naturopath, it's not going to say whether or not they have these this authority. So I think from the standpoint of the public, it would be rather confusing the scope of practice of a naturopath if this isn't actually stated somewhere clearly where the public is aware of it.
The sponsor like to respond?
Sure. Let me take the Section 10 question first, dealing with a naturopath's report of certain injuries.
Okay.
I'm fairly sure, through the chair, Senator Costello, that this is language that most physicians, like in an emergency room setting, already have to do. So like if there were, so bullet wound, anything that has to do with a bullet is always required by law for a physician in an emergency room setting to contact the police department. I'm pretty sure that that's the case for this section, and so it would be it'd basically be conforming language for a naturopath to do exactly the same as a medical doctor or an osteopath.
And I see Sarah Chambers shaking her yes in agreement for those listening online and those whose backs are to her. And the second part of Senator Costello's question?
Page 5.
It's page 5. It has to do with the elective portion of the exam. It seems like if there's some portion of an exam that's going to give you a different scope of practice, that in itself should almost dictate a separate exam in and of itself with a separate type of license. But
and I'll just follow up. Would there be some kind of indication on the license itself that they have that extra certification? Is that detailed in the bill, or is that something you would need to add? Because I'm aware of that for other types of practitioners that take a special surgery exam so they can have added privileges.
And follow up on that, too.
Senator Begich.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe even the idea that that one of the maybe suggestions here would be that publicly posting what they are qualified under the statute to do and not do. It would be a relatively simple thing with just a public placard that would say, doctor of naturopathy, eligible to practice naturopathy, prescription writing, et cetera, or naturopathy, et cetera, whatever the et cetera is, and then not licensed to practice prescription writing, which would, I think, address the issue. Something like that, simple as that, maybe might work.
Senator Kawasaki, would you like to respond?
Sure.
Mr. Hayes.
Through the chair, Senator Hughes. Yeah, I think Senator Kawasaki could be willing to work with the committee to address that in a committee substitute.
Okay, thank you for that. I have a number of questions, but I want to see if any of the members. Senator Costello has another one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And perhaps you being more familiar with the bill, Senator Kawasaki, in the statute, section 0845050, it does say that there are restrictions on the practice of naturopathy, and one of them is to use the word physician in the person's title. And it's my understanding, looking at this bill, that is reversed. Is that in this legislation if it were to be passed?
Through the chair, Senator Costello. Yes, that's another part with the surgeries that we have to definitions matter, and we need to tighten the definition for that. So it's defined what a ND is versus saying an MD. So yeah, that's something that we need to work with.
Okay, so as a follow-up, Madam Chair.
Senator Costello.
So the throughout the PowerPoint, it refers to doctor of naturopathy, and so I'm confused why we're already using that term when the statute currently says we're not able to. And that's why, I mean, that's another reason why I'm wondering where the PowerPoint came from, if it was used in other states perhaps that already allow that, because it's it seems like we're starting to use that term without having the statutory authority to do so. But just a comment.
And I actually have a similar concern because we use the word doctor for doctors of philosophy, juris doctors, EDs for doctors of education. And so we're referring to the naturopathic doctor here, but now we're talking about physician, which is very much in Americans' minds associated with an MD or DO. So, and because you're calling them NDs, I'm just not sure if we need to tinker with the physician, that word, whether that's really necessary. And I have a couple of questions. They're kind of random that I've been taking all the way from your introductory remarks, Senator Kawasaki, to the PowerPoint, to the sectional analysis. One of the things that you mentioned, Senator Kawasaki, was the ability for them to prescribe vitamins and minerals. And my understanding that these don't require prescriptive authority because I can walk into the store and buy them. And I'm just wondering if there are particular vitamins and minerals that a person cannot purchase and whether they have to be prescribed. Do you know that? And if not, that I would ask that one of those online respond if you don't know.
Madam Chair, I guess there will be someone online that can talk specifically about prescriptive authority and those types of uses.
Okay. Also, there was a mention in the PowerPoint regarding residency, 1 to 3 years, but then there was a note that there aren't enough residency locations. Does that mean that some NDs end up not having a residency?
Yeah. Through the chair, Senator Hughes, yes.
Okay, that's somewhat of a problem, a little bit for me, because when once you elevate to the level of doctor and you're doing the postgraduate work, and then a residency is typically for DOs, MDs, and even for some of the other, I think even some of the behavior health doctorate levels, it requires clinical residency type things. So. How bad is that shortage? Because I think I'd rather have a required residency if we were going to go this route than an optional.
Madam Chair, I could just say that there are some folks who do have more advanced levels of prescriptive authority. Physician's assistants are one. Nurse practitioners are another. They don't require a residency in the state, and they are governed by the state medical board.
But they also aren't called doctors. So that's, you know, when we're elevating them to that position, there's a certain expectation of training. So do you know what the shortage is and how many don't end up going through a residency?
Through the chair, there are some folks who are naturopaths currently practicing, and they would probably be the best to answer that particular question.
Okay. In the bill, it refers to a person that completed everything except the exam being able to get a temporary license. Once they have that temporary license, do they have full authority to function and practice as an ND, or is it limited authority?
Okay, so through the chair, that probably is a question for Sarah Chambers from Commerce.
Okay, and I'm glad Sarah's taking notes. That one is concerning to me also, if they haven't actually passed the exam, that they would be doing everything an ND that has passed the exam. And the bill also refers to the National Practitioner Database, and I didn't note what section it was. And I was wondering, is this a data bank? Is this a data bank or base specific to NDs, or is this a data bank that is used by multiple healthcare provider types?
Let me find out where that's at. Do you know what section it's in?
Let me look at the section.
So through the chair.
It's in section 14.
It is in 18.
Line 16, page 11.
Page 11, line 16. So. And Sarah Chambers is going to be able to help us with that one, too, so we'll mark that
one. Yeah, and I expect that the National Practitioner Data Bank that's maintained by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services is probably a large bank of everybody who has a particular license
of a particular sort
with accreditations.
Probably so. And then I have one more, and we may have to punt to someone else. Is part of the reason the NDs would like this licensure is for billing purposes. They'd be able to perhaps bill Medicaid, Medicare, insurance companies. Is that part of the motivation here?
Due to Chair, Senator Hughes, that I'm not sure, but I know one we have folks who can discuss that further, but I know that there is a problem with the statutes being so old. So with the statutes being from 1986, it presents a problem for enforcing things on naturopaths if there are issues. So if for nothing else to update the statutes to 2021 would make it easier to regulate the naturopaths. They have continuing education and so forth. So I think the primary point is to really update the statutes to be reflective of what's happening today.
And thank you, Madam Chair. So through the chair, and part of this came about several years ago when a naturopath was used to always be permitted to do a certain procedure involving, I'm going to get it wrong now, but some sort of mineral type application. And they had been permitted. They thought that they were allowed to be able to do this. And at some point in time, the medical board found out that they weren't and decided that they weren't supposed to do that. And so they updated some regulations that basically said that they're no longer allowed to do this, and only a medical doctor or an osteopathic physician would be allowed to do that. And so this sort of came about just sort of by happenstance. But I think that what Joe says is absolutely correct. Just updating the statutes is such an important thing to understand how the practice of naturopathy has changed over the years.
Well, can I follow that up with, can they now bill insurance and Medicaid and Medicare?
Through the chair, Senator Hughes, I think some of our folks online will be better able to answer that question.
Okay, great. They can. Senator Begich?
Yes, Senator Hughes, yes, I know that a naturopath can, in fact, bill your insurance. So I'm fully aware of that. But not being a patient of a naturopath, I was at one point married to somebody who did go to a naturopath and used my insurance. So it can be done.
But
I think Sarah Chambers, I have a question that I was going to ask. I think maybe Sarah Chambers can answer some of our questions, but I wanted to know if the term ND or the term Doctor of Naturopathy, in fact, are currently in use, and whether that's allowed under current regulations. I don't think that's the question that you guys can answer, but I think Director Chambers can answer that.
Absolutely. And my guess is that, you know, if insurance is covering certain things, it may not cover all at this point. That might be part of the purpose. So with that, do you have anything final before we bring Sarah up? We've got quite a list of questions that we'll direct to her. Then.
Through the chair, I think you're going to find a lot of answers from the folks who are online and from Sarah Chambers from Commerce Division. I mean, really, we brought this bill forward just to allow these healthcare providers to be allowed to practice consistent with their education and scope of practice, and nothing more. We didn't want to extend their ability to do things that they weren't already trained to do.
Thank you for that. And I will just say, it is true, the more that trained providers can work to their full scope of practice, the better it is as far as access and affordability. And I personally have not used a naturopathic doctor, but when I was seeking out, this was a number of years ago, for cancer treatment, there was a cancer physician who did work in conjunction with a naturopathic. I ended up not going with that particular one, so I didn't. But I also have a sister-in-law who has just rants and raves about a naturopath that she sees. So I know they have been helpful to Alaskans. So Thank you for the, Senator Reinbold.
I really wanted to say I have seen a naturopath. I am a very big believer in naturopaths, and I'm really glad you brought this bill forth. I know it needs to be whittled down. I think there's some really important issues that have brought forth, and I'm just super thankful that there is a broad range of options rather than just pharmaceuticals and surgery. Pharmaceutical surgery, I actually have tremendous admiration for trying to use more naturopathic options. I think are much safer, much healthier. So I'm actually very thankful that you brought this bill. I was going to wait on this, but I do think there's some important concerns that have been brought forth that I want to work with everybody on. But I hope this makes it to the floor eventually in the right form. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Reinbold. Senator Costello.
Thank you, and you know, I've spoken with the sponsor, and I know you've introduced this on behalf of constituent. I have a lot of respect for naturopaths. I really do. I think the concern that I have here is, if this bill were to pass, currently, a naturopath is not allowed to prescribe any prescription drug, and then this bill would allow them to. It gives them prescribing ability except for cancer drugs, controlled substances, and a poison. So everything that is not a cancer drug, a controlled substance, or a poison, we are now allowing naturopaths to prescribe, and yet we're from what I'm hearing, this is just updating statute based on their training. And so I think I have some questions about the training of a naturopath, the training of a doctor who goes through the full, a doctor in terms of, somebody that is allowed to use that title. And then I would also like to get a list of every single drug that can be prescribed that is not a cancer drug, controlled substance, or a poison, because that is what this bill does, is it would allow a naturopath to prescribe from that list. And I just think that that's something, I think it's more than just updating statutes. I think it's a 180 degree diversion from the course, that currently exists, the way the statutes are written. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Generally, I'd love to see that list too. I do want to remind folks, though, that the prescribing power under page 5, Section 8, lines 23 to 25, is limited to only those naturopaths that have passed the elective pharmacology examination portion. So what might be helpful would be to get a copy, perhaps, of that examination portion of that exam. So that would give us a clearer idea of what we did that one time before, where we looked at, I can't remember if it was in education or health a couple of years back, but we looked at what the exam covered to see, basically what was covered. So that might be the answer.
Yeah,
to just see what that exam covers.
That actually, and I guess I will ask the sponsor if you could provide a thorough comparison between the examination that NDs would need to take as opposed to a PA or an MD, that portion of their exam, and if they're comparable or not. Senator Costello?
Thank you. And, in terms of the authentic assessment that a medical doctor has to go through, they also have the residency. So when you talk about the exam, it's not necessarily, we're not just talking about a paper pencil exam for that. We're talking about years of residency and being overseen by others. And again, nothing against naturopaths. I think that's wonderful. But I just think we have to be very careful in terms of the public protection and the transparency about what a person's allowed to do. And so I think this is a pretty serious piece of legislation, and I'm glad it's before the committee.
Thank you.
And now at this time, if Sarah Chambers, with the director of DCCED's Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing, she'll join us. And we'll let you, just based on your notes, just go ahead and start responding. And then if members have additional questions, they can pipe in.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Sarah Chambers. I'm the director of the Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing. And I will go through my notes, and I'm happy to speak to some of the topics that the sponsor asked me to be available as a technical resource for you. I do want to first say that the administration has not taken a position either way on this bill, so I am here as a technical support for the sponsor, and there are certainly experts on the line, as has been mentioned. Per the notes from some of your questions, and please fill in if I've misinterpreted or left anything out, some of the concerns that were raised about some of the language, the bullet wounds and so forth, those exactly were taken from the medical doctor, the medical board statutes and regulations. When a similar bill was proposed last session by Representative Johnston, her staff was interested in many of the same objectives, and one of the pieces that from my reading of the bill has carried forward with Senator Kawasaki's version is that there is greater responsibility is also greater accountability. So there is quite a bit of accountability put into the bill that currently does not exist for naturopathic doctors, which is a term allowed by current law, the doctor part. So there's a large gap currently in state statute in protection for the public who may currently see naturopaths. And that's one of the areas that I wanted to be available to talk a little bit about, was the trend of updating statutes and the need as we see in practical day-to-day life, whether it's from the licensing side, whether it's from the investigation side, and complaints and concerns for any profession, is whether the laws are keeping up with what's happening out there, and whether that's working to the top of your education or whether it's protections available for the public. I think both of those are at play with this particular piece of legislation. And the legislature has seen quite a few scope of practice updates in the last few years. Optometrists, advanced practice registered nurses, chiropractors, and have all had legislation passed in the last few years that recognize some of the training that they're able to obtain that wasn't that has come to pass to be available in modern education for those professions that is not recognized in statute, because it's a big state with a lot going on and we don't always get around to some of those updates. There's current legislation, this one, physical therapist, and the paramedic bill that all also recognize a need for updating statutes to give more modernization and flexibility. And then other boards currently are working on ideas to do the same. So that's, as you all just mentioned, definitely a trend that has seen its way through the legislature, and one that many boards are working on is how to crack that statutory nut so they can do the things that they're allowed to do in other states based on their education and training. Some of the other questions that were raised, whether naturopaths can bill insurance. Yes, they certainly can. I am not an expert on Medicaid or Medicare, but can point you to those in the state. In my understanding of talking with Dr. Lang, who's on the line, and others, is that is not the primary onus for this legislation. It's simply to do the things that we were just mentioning. The National Practitioner Data Bank is The NPDB is a current data bank monitored by the federal government that we use for healthcare professions, that we are enabled in state law to check and make sure that we are all jurisdictions are data sharing on violations that may be happening by licensees in various states, because we do have a responsibility to check those things when people want to be licensed in Alaska, or if they are licensed in Alaska and happen to be licensed in another state and have had a violation in another state. So we currently use the NPDB for many other healthcare professions.
And just to make sure I understand, so when you're licensing someone from another state, you're checking that database for all the professions then, and you would as well for ND?
Yes, and generally, yes.
Okay, thank you. Senator Beckett?
I asked the question earlier. Are they currently naturopaths use ND, don't they? And they use doctor of naturopathy in their practice, or are they prohibited from doing that?
Through the chair, Senator Begich, they are currently allowed to be called naturopathic doctors or NDs. They are not allowed to use the term physician currently. So to continue on, Madam Chair, there was a question raised about licensure before someone passes the exam. And that is a practice that is currently in place with many of our healthcare professions. And that typically what we see with other boards, other professions, is that when someone has done everything, all their education, everything required except being able to just sit for that exam, which may only happen a couple of times a year, they are allowed to get a temporary license, and they're often have a sponsor or someone who's supervising them, someone who can vouch for them in the state that is supervising and overseeing their practice in one way or another, just until that exam is passed and they get their full license.
And is that supervisory requirement, is that something that's in statute for these other professions? Because I don't think this one does. If it does, I missed it. So when you say some are waiting 6 months and they're going ahead and working in the clinic, they have a supervisor. Is that required by statute in other professions?
Yes, Madam Chair. It's either in statute or regulation, depending on the profession, and that's certainly a model that if the sponsor were interested, we could provide some template language for.
Yeah, I would feel more comfortable with that provision if the sponsor's open to that. Okay.
Thank you. And another idea that exists currently with other professions is the idea of the prescriptive endorsement. And we see that particularly with advanced practice registered nurses, that those are the nurses who are at the very top of the nursing field. And we have APRNs who are able to prescribe, and then we have APRNs who don't prescribe. And we can add a prescriptive endorsement onto them. Other professions have similar kinds of endorsements, from dental to optometry, where someone does have specialized training that's just a little bit extra or a lot extra than the person with a basic license. So there are models for that as well, if that was a direction, again, that the sponsor was interested in going. And Madam Chair, that would provide on their license very clearly that they have the endorsement, and that is something that could be displayed and also on our website for people to understand.
And so if we wanted to see that, would that be something we'd put in statute? Is that what the other professions have done, or is that done by reg? Or?
Yes, Madam Chair, that's usually in statute because it is it's akin to a license, and so that would need to be authorized by the legislature.
Okay, Senator Costello, and thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sarah, are there boards where a naturopath has a seat? Are there any boards where they have a voice or a seat that they currently serve on?
Through the chair, Senator Costello, right now the naturopathic profession has no official voice in their licensure, or any other licensure within our professional, within our division. Naturopaths are fully regulated by the division, so when regulatory matters come up, when there is a need for an update or a change or a concern, then that's done informally through connecting with me in my office. And then if a regulations package is moved forward, it goes through the public process. So there is no board, there's no advisory opportunity for naturopaths to officially participate.
Do you have a follow-up?
Thank you. So, and I don't have the bill right in front of me, but there is a section in it that talks about they would be providing recommendations for policy. Is that language also found in all of the other board and commission or licensure board statutes?
Through the chair, Senator Costello, it's interesting. All of our other boards, all 21 boards, whether they're healthcare or not, they are the policy makers for their professions. The legislature authorizes them to adopt regulations and create policy within the statutory restrictions for their professions. And then the flip side would be that I get to do that for the non-boarded professions through the commissioner. there's no middle ground. Construction contractors, for example, don't have, like naturopaths, don't have an official voice at the table. From my reading of the bill, there's a proposal to have an advisory board created, which is kind of an interesting hybrid of the two, where it's not a full board like the medical board, board of nursing, board of barbers and hairdressers. They wouldn't have the full ability to adopt their own regulations through the public process, but they would have a seat at the table officially to advise the division on policy changes and perhaps get those accomplished more efficiently and effectively.
Senator Costello, did you have a follow-up?
Yes.
And then Senator Begich.
Yes, I did. Could you mention some of the other boards that do not, professions or jobs that do not have a board, so that the committee can understand sort of who their colleagues are in terms of the state?
I will do my very best. I should have those completely memorized. So through the chair, Senator Costello, our construction contractors, mechanical administrators, electrical administrators, that family of professions do not have a board, and we recently adopted regulations or proposing regulations that may have come across your desk for those, and they have no official input other than through the public process. There are some healthcare professions, behavior analysts, athletic trainers, speech-language pathologists, audiologists, hearing aid dealers. None of them have boards, and so they're completely regulated the same way as naturopaths through our office.
Follow-up?
So usually, Madam Chair, with advisory boards, sometimes they're temporary to come up with recommendations. I mean, it seems that if there was an advisory board set up that was permanent, that it would be, that its purpose would be to make recommendations for statutes. And I just think that, you know, if the naturopaths want to, you know, administer their own licenses, it seems like that would be a better route to go rather than, trying to make changes through regulations that would be forwarded to the state. I mean, it seems like it is a departure. An advisory board is a departure from the way we've been doing things, for a very long time. And so I would question what message we're sending. You know, are we saying that all of these efforts to make changes didn't work, and so we're going to now make an advisory board and approach it that way? I'm just wondering, you know, how we satisfy the actual need rather than kind of skirting the issue and trying to figure out, how to handle this. I mean, a lot of professions have boards and they oversee their licensures. It seems like there's 50 or 60 naturopaths in the state, so it's not really that large of a group of Alaskans, and I don't know if it necessitates more bureaucracy. Perhaps that's the reason why, you know, we haven't gone this route. So just a few thoughts.
You want to respond to that before we go to Senator Begich?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Through the chair, Senator Costello, you're exactly right. The thought originally behind the advisory board was to be sort of a board light and not have as much bureaucracy that would be baked into a full-blown board, but that's certainly an option that the legislature could have to run the spectrum of either saying we'd like to see a full board for naturopaths with all of the rights and responsibilities that all our other boards have, or to say, no, we're going to continue to have this program managed by the division, and then just trust that the division is engaging naturopaths through the public process. Personally, just having done this for a decade, if the bill passes and naturopaths are given more authority, again, with accountability, then I would like to see a ready-made group, perhaps an appointed group, whether it was a full board or an advisory board that I could lean on, because I'm not a naturopath, and I would expect that there would need to be more oversight and a group that we could go to more readily if there were investigations. There have only been six investigations of naturopaths in the last 5 years, no license actions. But then again, they're not allowed to do very much in comparison to other healthcare providers. So it's a tool in the toolbox, and I think that tool could look differently depending on the will of the body.
Okay, we're going to move to Senator Begich's question, and then I want to give our time is limited. Give the two waiting online a chance to speak to us. Senator Begich.
I think my question may have been answered by that last exchange. I was just asking why an advisory. I was going to ask why an advisory board, and not a regular board. And I think I'm hearing it could be either, and it's just a question of, you know, the numbers may not justify putting a full staff person on and going through that process, but. I would defer to the division on that. So.
Yes, and my thoughts too, and you can just a quick yes or no, if we went the full board route, the license fees would be higher, I assume, because it would require staffing, and because there are only 50, that might be part of why they prefer an advisory board. And I'm seeing yes, heads shaking yes by the sponsor. Would you agree with that, Ms. Chambers?
Essentially, yes.
Okay, thank you. So thank you very much for joining us. And now we're going to go online, and we'll begin with Abby Lang. Please provide your testimony, Abby.
Hi, thanks. My name is Abby Lang. I'm a naturopathic doctor and owner of Thrive Integrative Medicine based in Anchorage, Alaska. I know we have three invited testimony, and Dr. David Schleich can answer a lot of your questions on education. But he is unable to get in. Is somebody, he's been trying to call the line. Could somebody phone him? Is that a possibility?
I'm sorry. I was speaking with a colleague. What did you say, Abby?
Dr. Schleich is one of our people that was going to testify today, and he can talk a lot about the education, but he's been unable to get in on the line. Is somebody able to phone him from your side?
Yes, our aide will check on that. Do you have a phone number for him?
I do. It's 306-946-4266.
That was a coffee cup clunking. So we are on the record now, and Abby, you may go ahead and continue. The committee aide is trying to reach David Schleich. So go ahead, Abby.
Okay, thank you so much, and thank you guys for taking the time to hear the testimony today. I'm speaking as a representative of the Alaska Association of Naturopathics Doctors, because we're passionate about providing Alaskans with the best possible care that we can, and it's really what draws people to our field. I wanted to answer just a couple of questions that you guys had brought up. The vitamins, someone asked about why would you need to have prescriptive privilege for vitamins and minerals. A good example is vitamin B12, which is not well absorbed, taking it orally, and so a lot of people will do injection B12. And that's especially with older folks with lower stomach acid. So that would be one good example. To answer the surgery questions, page 5, line 26, it talks specifically about what's excluded in the surgeries. I think Senator Costello had asked about a full list of prescription medications. One of the problems with providing a full list is that medications change. So a good example would be the COVID vaccine, right? So this process we've been working on for, you know, almost a decade. And if something were to come out like a COVID vaccine, we would have to go through this process again versus being able to utilize it, you know, instantaneously. The answer to the insurance question, there's no change with insurance coverage. Insurance does reimburse naturopathic doctors in Alaska. And lastly was a question on residencies. They are optional because we don't have enough residencies nationwide for all of the graduating naturopathic doctors, though what we're looking for here in this bill is a scope of practice that equals or is lesser than that nurse practitioners and physician's assistants have, and they don't do residencies. So under current law, as you guys know,
We're unable to provide the full scope of care that we're trained for, and that's really why we're doing this. It creates a lot of unnecessary inefficiencies in the healthcare system, and at the end of the day, it's Alaska's healthcare consumers that end up paying the price. The bill creates a statutory framework allowing naturopathic doctors to provide a scope of care that's consistent with our training and our education. In doing so, the Senate Bill 38 will improve healthcare access. It will remove the need for Alaskans to seek duplicative services, which are costly, plays a role in addressing the shortage of primary care providers in Alaska, and it will allow Alaskans greater freedom to choose how to best address their healthcare needs. They certainly do not have to seek a naturopathic doctor, but if they want to, they sure can. SB 38 does this by allowing naturopathic doctors just simply to do what we are trained to do. A lot of the bill is straightforward, as you were discussing, gets rid of outdated language. Our statutes were written in 1968, which is almost not too long after I was born. And so we're outlining a more modern scope of practice. The two main provisions of particular interest, though, is that the bill allows naturopathic doctors to issue non-controlled substance medications, so we specifically exclude controlled substances, and provide to perform minor in-office procedures, such as stitches and wart removal, skin biopsies. And as I said, on page 5, line 26, it excludes anything beyond superficial tissues, so nothing on the hands or beyond the skin, essentially. So really, the central question before the committee is whether or not naturopathic doctors are trained to practice the scope that is outlined in this bill. And when you look at the details, and you look at the packet that's provided to you today, you can see that the answer is absolutely yes. I, just like other licensed NDs in Alaska, followed a standard pre-med track in my undergraduate years. I attended a 4-year doctoral level program, which included about 140 hours of pharmaceutical training. Naturopathic doctors in many other states do prescribe medications, what we're asking for here, and also controlled substances. And they do perform minor office procedures. They've been doing this for many, many years, and they're doing so safely in those other states. So in Alaska, we allow other healthcare providers with less pharmacology training to prescribe a broader range of pharmaceuticals than we're asking for in this bill. So one of the questions that comes up is, why would naturopathic doctors want to provide pharmaceuticals at all if our focus is on diet and lifestyle modification? So I just wanted to give you a couple of examples from recent weeks. One example is a patient who wanted to get a vaccine. We talked about some adult vaccines. He was on board, and I told him I would love to administer, but I'm not allowed to under current law, so he would need to go to another provider, another clinic to get the vaccine. And he told me, well, due to the added cost, more time off work, paying another copay, he was not going to get it. So in my opinion, this is a negative healthcare outcome, because had I been able to give him the vaccine in office, he would have had it, it would have been done. Another good example that comes up a lot is parents who bring their kids in with ear infections. So sometimes ear infections are a watch and wait sort of a situation, and a lot of parents do want to avoid antibiotics if they're able to. So with these parents, I said, well, it looks like we can watch and wait. However, ear infections can progress quickly, and you may need antibiotics. It becomes really serious really quickly. And had I had a prescriptive privilege, I would have given them an antibiotic script and said, if things aren't better tomorrow, go fill this script. Or if they're not better over the weekend, go fill this. Instead, I had to say, well, if things progress, you need to go to urgent care or to the ER. And as we know, particularly in the middle of a pandemic, that is the last place a kid with an ear infection belongs. Lastly, another example is kind of awesome. I had a patient who came back after a couple of months of diet and lifestyle modification she'd been doing to take care of her obesity, her high blood pressure, high cholesterol. And she wanted a more lifestyle-based approach. Can she do anything other than take medication? So we discussed this. She did awesome. She followed up, her blood pressure had dropped, she had dropped weight, she was doing great, but now she's dizzy. And she's dizzy because her blood pressure has dropped. And so what we would do in a setting, in any setting, is drop her blood pressure medication, but I can't adjust that dose because I can't prescribe. So again, she has to go pay another copay, take another some time off of work, and go get that prescription lowered. So those are just, I could go on, but those are just three examples that kind of makes the point of why we would want to prescribe. As you've heard, when it comes to the more material provisions of Senate Bill 38, an equivalent or broader scope is already being practiced safely by naturopathic doctors in many other states and has been for many years. Also, prescriptive privileges are currently provided to healthcare providers in Alaska with equal or lesser pharmacology training. On the line, we have Dr. David Schleich, who is an expert. He was the president of my naturopathic medical school, and he has been the president of others, and hopefully if he's on. And then Dr. Clyde Jensen, who is a pharmacologist, or a pharmacist, and he taught pharmacology. He's taught pharmacology at many different schools. So if you have questions on those specifically, those two are a way to
thank you. Thank you, Abby. I'm going to ask
my testimony today. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to ask members to hold their questions just so we have time. Right now, we don't have Dr. Schleich online. He's in Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's going to provide written testimony, although he may be able to try to squeeze in, but we're down to 8 minutes. But one thing I wanted to say, Abby, is your association was listed on my list and also on your website, the Alaska Association of Naturopathic Physicians. And right now under law, you can't be using that word. And under you, strangely under it, says the Alaska Association of Naturopathic Doctors is the professional association for naturopathic physicians licensed in Alaska. So you might want to clarify that up and make sure you're within the scope of the law at the present time. So thank you very much. Good to hear from you. And next we will go to Clyde Jensen. And Clyde, we are short on time. We've got about 7 minutes. So fill us in those 7 minutes, would you please?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator Costello, and members of the committee. My name is Clyde Jensen. As Abby has just mentioned, I do have a PhD in pharmacology, and I have taught pharmacology at colleges of medicine, osteopathic medicine, naturopathic medicine, and I currently teach pharmacology to osteopathic medical students and physician assistants. I've also been the president of colleges of naturopathic medicine, MD medical schools, DO medical schools, and I'm just returning to teaching pharmacology full-time in St. George, Utah at this stage in my career. Because time is limited, I'll just share several very short observations. Because there have been questions about the amount of pharmacology that naturopathic students receive, I'll share with you that we teach the same content of pharmacology to naturopathic medical students as we do to MD and DO students. We teach much more to naturopathic medical students than we do to physician assistant students or to nurse practitioners. Reference has been made to residency programs. I've made a note to acknowledge that naturopathic students will receive roughly the same amount of clinical experience during their four-year degree program as do MDs and DOs. Less of that experience, however, is devoted to clinical supervision with the use of drugs, because naturopathic students are studying nutrition and lifestyle and other clinical interventions that MDs and DOs don't study quite as much. A third observation that I will make, in as much as reference was made to what scope of drugs naturopathic physicians might wish to prescribe, is that naturopathic physicians are more inclined, as Abby and others have mentioned, to use nutrition and lifestyle than they are to use drugs in their practice. And so accordingly, we have observed that the number and the scope of drugs that are used by naturopathic physicians is considerably narrower, involving fewer drugs than those that are used by MDs and DOs and even PAs and nurse practitioners. Then finally, Madam Chair, the last observation that I will make is that it is certainly not unusual for healthcare professions who are prescribing limited numbers and a narrow scope of prescription pharmaceuticals to do so in consultation with other healthcare professionals who prescribe the more frequently. And we see that, I see that with many of the professions that I teach, and I see no reason that in Alaska naturopathic physicians should not be permitted to prescribe the limited scope of drugs that they would wish, particularly if they have access to consultation from other healthcare professionals that prescribe more of them. And Madam Chair, those are the things that I thought might be helpful for me to share today.
Thank you very much, Clyde. And David Schleich has managed to get online, so I'd like to give him the last few minutes. David, we've got about 3 minutes left. If you would like to share with us regarding the education standards for nurse naturopathic doctors.
Thank you so much. Am I audible up there?
Yes, nice and clear.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Thank you so much. I'm very much in support of House Bill 38, Madam Chair. In my role over the past 35 years, I've been in post-secondary and postgraduate education principally, not as a clinician but as an administrator. My doctoral work and research has been in policy and theory. I'm particularly interested in professional formation, how it is that professions, healthcare professions, take their place in civil society. I want to speak very positively and enthusiastically about the quality and rigor of the clinical doctorate that is the underpinning, the foundation of naturopathic doctors and physicians in many American states and Canadian provinces. I also want to speak to the robust research activity occurring in that profession increasingly in the last dozen years, and significantly in the United States with institutes such as there's the Healthcott Research Institute, the Cancer Research Institute in Ottawa, and so on. I also want to point out that the number of states who are licensing and registering naturopathic physicians and doctors has increased dramatically in the last decade, principally because of the reach they have clinically in their communities, but also because of the rigor and quality of their educational background. The regional and programmatic accreditors for naturopathic medicine are the same as for other main primary care practitioners and physicians. By that I mean the programmatic accreditor and the regional accrediting bodies accredit the institutions that produce naturopathic doctors. And two last points. The amount of education is quite substantial relative to other healthcare professions that have been referenced earlier. The 4,100 hours that includes robust pharmacology and clinical training are a case in point. In pharmacology alone, there's 140 TCHs in the institution where I used to be president. I want to make one last comment, which is that naturopathic doctors historically haven't been hospitalists, but they have extensive residency experience, although they don't have access to the annual match in the United States. But there's a high weighting of clinical rotation in the penultimate and final years of their program and with great success. So statutory framework of the Division of Corporations and Business and Professional Licensing doesn't really align appropriately to the healthcare professional status of naturopathic doctors. So I would encourage the legislature in Alaska to adopt this bill with alacrity. And I also would be prepared to say that naturopathic doctors are increasing in their presence in clinical care in the United States and Canada. In fact, the largest naturopathic degree-granting institution in North America is the school I used to be president of in Toronto, has one of the most robust research institutes in natural medicine, with strong affiliations with functional medicine practitioners and integrative practitioners. So thank you very much for the opportunity to share those comments with you.
Thank you, Dr. Schleich. We appreciate your extra efforts to join us. And the chair of the committee did have public testimony, and so I'm going to quickly open it. because I'm not seeing anyone online. And is there anyone in the room? Then that takes care of that, and we'll close public testimony. We're going to set this bill aside at this time, and members, please note that amendments are due to Senator Wilson's office by 5 p.m. on Tuesday, April 13th, and to be considered, amendments must be drafted by Ledge Legal. This concludes our business for the day. Any closing comments? Seeing none, thank you for attending. We are adjourned at 3:01 p.m.